हरिः ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so continue with the concept that the karma mimamsas, then they think that the statements in the Veda that only talk about existence then are of no real value, because they're already stating what's already obvious, what's already there, right? So then they're saying only statements that say, okay, you should do this action, you can get this result, are of value, right? So then the problem comes up is that they're not appreciating that to do something with, if you want to perform an action, you're performing an action with things that are existent. So unless you understand the existence of what you're dealing with, then you can't perform action and get results. So the principle of actual knowledge then becomes reduced. That means they say they have knowledge of the skill and the activity, but going deeper, then they don't understand. So the depth in existence, the depth in knowledge, right, that will be lacking in their philosophy. You know, which is also, as they state, the obvious. Right? You know. So that's then is being addressed here. Right? So Baladeva Vibhushan is then, yes.
Can we say that Jaimini and his followers are only interested in philosophy as much as it backs up
karma.
Their ideas?
Yes, yes. So anything they do, it will always be karma, you know, how you say, karma is the main thing. So jnana and bhakti may be used, but only in support of karma. So they would do bhakti, Mr. Karma, jnana, Mr. Karma. So, yeah. Because for them, gaining piety is all they're interested in. They're not interested in anything else. Yeah. Okay. So then, Jaimini explains this. Since scriptural statements which enjoin action are useful, statements which do not enjoin action are useless. Purva Mimamsa 1:2:1. A group of words is used with a verb. The meaning arises from the combination of these words, right? So you're getting into, because they get into the svota, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because for them, the meaning of the words, how the words work, is very important, because they're trying to ascertain the meaning, how to do action. So for them, only things that show action. Because if karma is your philosophy, that means karma is an action. Right? You don't get karma from just existence. Right? You get karma from doing something with your existence. So for them, if it doesn't describe action, it's not of value, because it won't produce karma. Right? So they're interested in good karma, so they perform good action. So for them, good existence is not actually very important. Yes?
So if you said that any, according to the common names of philosophers, any shloka that doesn't describe action as useless, does that include shlokas that describe the glories of the Lord, but doesn't say anything about what we should do? Would that be
basically, because their point is, so what would you do with that? But they don't understand that when there's existence, then by understanding existence, then you get inspiration. And inspiration then creates desire, then there's the interest in performing action, then you do. So they're not catching the whole package. So they're just taking it, you know, that they want to do things, so unless it's something they can do something with, it doesn't have any purpose. But so for performing material activities, then they may be situated like that. And so, you know, they would be in that category where they already have the that inspiration. So, and so they just want to know what to do. You know, because their goal is, you know, is the good work. Right? So they don't really worry so much about the sambandhyan. It's just the abhideya. Right? Like that. So then, Yeah, so then getting into the combination of words, how they're going to work, they're looking at that combination's then going to express something. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's like you have a word, but what does that mean? It's only when there's a combination of words that it means something. Like if I say early, what does it mean? You could use it in any way. So when it's given with a group of words, then you can understand what needs to be done, right? Early to bed, early to rise, that kind of thing. Then you can say, okay, now we have a combination of words that is a value. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so then this would be Baladev, no?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. This is not so. It is a mistaken belief. Though not containing orders to perform or refrain from certain actions, by teaching the existence of Brahman as the highest human goal, there is utility in statements. Right? So, what gets left out here is they have an interest in, they're pious and they have it, I mean, let's say, they have an interest in material activities, like every living entity in the material world, but they're willing to be pious to gain it. Right? That's what sets them apart. Right? They're willing to follow the Shastric injunctions, you know, very carefully, very exactly, to get their material benefit. Yes.
It's the smarter group?
Generally smarters are, you would say. But I think you could be smarters and have some other aspects. But smarter just means you follow the rules very nicely. You know, I'm not sure smart that means you're smart or what exactly, but it basically means one who follows the rules very nicely. So what's left out here is knowledge of transcendence. That's not knowledge of the world. That's not natural from the materialistic point of view. That we left that to come here, to be involved. But just as a side point, just to ease your anxiety. Let us say we're talking about, okay, Braja Bhakti, and let's say someone wants to have a relationship with Krishna, you know, friendship rasa. Okay? So, which would be kind of nicer for perspective if I've come from Krishna, now I'm going to be his friends, or I came from Balaram, and now I'm going to be Krishna's friend. You understand? Or parental ras. I came from Krishna, now I'm going to be his parent. You understand? So it's not a weakness. Okay?
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Okay? So, from yesterday's class. Okay, so now the problem comes is that they're not looking into Brahman. So you have to know something exists before you do something with it. So for them is that the field of activities of the Vedic culture, it already exists. So their point is there's no need to explain that. It's already there. What to do with it? But here, the Vedas are also pointing out existence of something beyond the material. So because of their lack of interest in things that just show existence, they will naturally have a lack of interest in what is higher existence. They're only interested in material existence. And they want action within that. But if you're going to say, okay, well, action within spiritual existence, but if they don't know what spiritual existence is, how will they act? Because without knowledge of the field, you can't apply it in action. Does that make sense? You know, if you don't know what a kitchen is, how will you cook? So that's the whole thing. Is that the material they know, but the spiritual they don't. So that's why then you have to show the existence of the spiritual, just so we change, we start to gain an interest. Because if you know the existence of something, then there's the interest in it. Like that. Notice how the ears are really, really big and pointy, and the face is long. This is a Bengali cat. Not Bengali meaning I'm just saying it. You know, like you have Siamese cats from Thailand and you have Burmese cats from Burma. This is the Bengali cat. It's another breed of cat. You know, here it's just out on the street, but, you know, it's a Bengali cat.
He ended up at the right place.
Yeah, okay. Not a bad street here. Mm-hmm.
So far out.
Yeah. Okay, so it is like a statement. Okay, what's it? Okay. By teaching the existence of Brahman as the highest human goal, there is utility in statements. Because you show it exists, and therefore it's the highest goal. Because otherwise we think karma exists, of course, now what do we do with it? Because they already have the goal. But you have to show the existence of Brahman and that there's a higher goal than karma. So that's what Baladev is pointing out here, right? It is like a statement which reveals existence of wealth. From hearing an authoritative statement that you have wealth in your house, finding that treasure becomes the goal of your life. Similarly, by statements declaring the existence of Brahman, who is one source, Brahman, who has a form of knowledge and bliss, who is the excellent friend of all, and who gives himself to his devotees, one gains conviction in the existence of Brahman, right? Because from understanding Shankarshan, then the next stage is Prajumna. There's an interest is awoken. The attitude, that all comes up. Right? So only when the attitude is correct, then you see a goal. Right? Because from desire, or your attitude, comes goal. Right? Krishna says to Gita, by contemplating something, then you develop attachment. So only when there's attachment do you act. Right? So, unless you know that Brahman is there, unless you contemplate Brahman, how are you going to get to the point where the Brahman becomes a goal? Right? So that's why hearing about things, then you get inspired. You know, it means that advertisers, that's their whole thing. They just make you aware of what's available. And then being aware, then you get interested. Right? And then you see the ad, I think they say 7 times, then you get attached. Like that. That's why you see the same ad constantly. Right? They don't put different ones, because then even though it's the same product but it's a different ad, for you it's just one. But you have to see that same one 7 times. That's why driving from the airport into the center, you'll see it that many times. Does that make sense? Thus, it is not unlike the statements enjoining action. It may be seen that such statements yield results in the form of giving happiness and removing fear in the manner of statements like, a son has been born to you, and that is not a snake, but a rope. Right? So, these things, they generate results, but they're experienced results. So you're generating the element that you have an inspiration for it, you want it as a goal, or it removes fear and everything like that, because, or produces happiness. Because it's describing a situation, but that situation is going to create results. Right? Because of the emotional element. So they're looking at it just mechanical, this is what you do, I got my results. So basically we can understand is they're a dry bunch. Right? Like that. That which you generally see, the smartas and that, they are dry people. You know, very exact in that, you know, nice in the way of they do everything properly, but emotionally they're really dry people. It's just the way they are. Right? So So here is that they don't worry about that emotional thing, but that's actually why you're doing everything. So they've already accepted this, we're doing karma for that, and then that's it. But beyond that, they're not able to do. So they don't use that on the impious way of just anything that comes along they want to enjoy, but at the same time as they don't use it on the higher platform. So in one sense, they're kind of like impersonalists on the platform of karma. Yeah.
Can we say that they left Pradyumna?
Pradyumna means they have it just for good karma, but outside of that they don't. So one thing, it saves them from impious activities, but then it also impedes their understanding of transcendental relationship. Mm-hmm. You know. So just like the impersonalists, they're not involved in any material emotion, but they don't understand spiritual emotion. Right? They're not into relationships here, they don't understand there. So here is they're into just doing the duties, that kind of neutral state, and we'll get and later we'll enjoy. So they don't get into anything outside of that here in the mundane, but it also doesn't take them up to the higher. It's like taking the same principle and just shifting it over one. Right? So the impersonalists, they're not into the forms of Dharma. But at the same time, they're not into the forms of bhakti and anandamoya, right? So in vijnanamoya, then manamoya, that's not important. But at the same time, that reflects on the other side, on the spiritual, you know, in anandamoya, then they're not into it. So all it is these ones, you've shifted it down one. Mm-hmm. So dharma becomes the center. That, you know, and so they don't get involved in sinful activities or anything like that. That on the pranamoy, but also they're not interested in the platform of vijnanamoy. Does that make sense? So the mentality of, how you say, it's basically the same mentality. So for them to be karmis when they're, you know, how you say, within household life, and for them to become jnanis in vanaprastha and sannyas, they're doing that just because you're supposed to. But the mentality will just be the same. You just shifted over one, but still the same thing. Does that make sense? You know, the dog's in your house, it's barking. You take it out into the park, it's barking. You put it in the car, it's barking. Right? Like that.
So, I met my guru, you know, in Kupamela, and he told me that his purpose to perform yoga is to give benefit to the whole world. So,
Vishvashanti. Vishvashanti. Vishra means the world,
yeah.
And Shanti, peace.
Yeah. So he wants to, he says some emotion to give benefit.
And it's, yeah, but it's only within piety and doing his work. But outside of that, when they interact with anything else, then they're, you know, it's restricted. Okay, they'll make the whole world happy, and then what? And then they die. Okay. See, you have skills, right? You have qualities, right? By which you perform those skills. But what's the purpose of that? Right? Temporary or eternal? So even you have something that has nice qualities, they're still not connected with the soul. Because, you know, we're doing this to make everybody happy. What does happy mean? You know what I'm saying? What does happy mean? Like what? Yeah, the guy in New York is happy when he gets a, you know, Big Mac double cheese. So, what does he mean by happy? It, see, in other words, it sounds great. And people are going to give money for their 108 Kunda Vishvashanti Homa because it sounds great. But if you define it, what is it doing? It creates a pious atmosphere, and then in a more pious atmosphere, therefore the senses and the sense objects more easily come in contact and can interact, and so therefore that will make everybody happy. But that's just sense gratification. Right? So, okay, it's a nice thing, but at the same time, is it still temporary? You know? And when you have people who are sinful and you remove some of the restrictions, how you say, some of the impiety that restricts their sense gratification, what are they going to do? They're going to do more sinful activity. So how have you benefited them? So it only means something that people who are pious, now they'll perform more pious activities. But still it's temporary. So it only has a benefit for devotees. But they don't know that. So they don't get the benefit for that. You understand? Because in their mind it's not devotional. Devotee may benefit, but that's another thing. But the point is why do we need their yajna to benefit? Krishna's already taken care of. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to be able to distinguish between knowledge and skills and qualities and then actually what's the goal. That's the importance of this. In the modern kind of way of thinking, they make no discrimination. As long as it uses nice words, it includes, you know, sense gratification for all and sundry, then it's considered good. Oh, everybody will benefit. Everybody gets to take part. As soon as we say everybody, then immediately it's good. You understand?
Well, it's part of life.
Part of what life? Okay, let's say down at your university. Okay? Let us say, why is it that one guy should be sitting there thinking that he's the authority over everybody else and that he knows and they don't know? Why should he be, you know, exercising, expressing his authority over everybody else? Wouldn't it be so much nicer if instead of this one guy getting up and, you know, leading the class and discussion, why not everybody can lead, everybody can take part? Make it open for everybody. Give everybody a chance. Why this one guy, just because he has a few letters behind his name, then therefore he has such an attitude that he thinks he's so much superior and everything like that. Therefore, bring together all those students there. Let everybody talk. Let everybody try to teach everybody and show what they know and share and everything like that. Doesn't that sound a lot better?
That sounds great.
Yeah, so is that how you want your class to go? Is that how you want your class to go?
No.
Then? Is it practical? Sounds great. But is it practical? So that's the whole thing. Poetics make things sound great. It doesn't mean that it's good. Listen, like this. Okay, you have this one boy and you have this one girl. And they think so similar. One does one thing, the other can reciprocate. Their relationship is so dynamic. Like that. He goes to do something. He needs support. She's able to give that support in such a way that no one else can do. Right? So basically, you know, that's the sounds fabulous, isn't it? Okay, now if we look at the detail, is he's out shooting people and holding up banks, and she's the fastest person ever in history to be able to reload his gun. She can reload it faster than all the guys out there. Okay? So, that's Bonnie and Clyde. You understand? So, put it into this con- everything sounds great. You know? So, let's go, you know, a little right way around the world. Then, a little up north, okay? Then, you know, you have all these people, and they're of one community, and they're all kind of like a... sorry. And they're all like spread all over, you know, bring them all together so they can have that community feeling, you know, unimpeded by anybody else. You know, also don't let others from others' community come in and disturb them. You know, and since they're in the city, it's not such a great place, so we'll transport them to another place where, you know, they can all be together and all work together. And by working, you know, they can free themselves from all the, you know, entanglements that are there in the world. Sounds fabulous, right?
Yeah.
That was Hitler's, you know, collecting all the Jews together, moving them to Auschwitz, and then working them to death. Sounds great. Okay, let's go a little south. Like that. We have this area, and we have all these variety of people here. Very hard for them to all interact with each other. So we're just going to kind of like make some adjustments so that all of the, you know, the people there can be there of one community. They can all interact very nicely and all that and be very free and not worry about all these, this unnecessary, you know, social interactions that make one feel bad or anything like that. So we'll just kind of ethnically kind of clean the place up a bit. Sounds good, no? Okay, what was that? That was the Serbs' ethnic cleansing of Bosnia. Going in, if you're not Serbian, they just killed you. You know, so they cleaned up the ethnicity. So that's the whole point. Nice words make anything sound good. So that's the whole point. That's you know, what everybody tries to do. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just you put some nice spin on it, make it sound fabulous. You know, or you come over to, you know, the Middle Kingdom. You know, they were just having a cultural revolution. You know, which meant killing everybody who was not of a particular way of thinking. So it sounds great, a cultural revolution. Yeah, we'll introduce culture. But what were they doing? Destroying whatever culture was there. So then, it sounds great. You know, what's the one? You know, going out west. You know, the something of America. You know, the going west. You know,
America's destiny.
No, it means that they're going in and spreading the culture and establishing and everything like that. There's some terms that they use. You know, you had the settlers there, and they're simply going out and kind of like domesticating the country, making it, you know, like this, and going around and all that, and like that. And, you know, but in the process, then, anybody that's not, you know, white, then kind of is not in as fortunate a position as, you know, they would probably hope for. Does that make sense? Sounds great. But is it? So that's the whole point, is you have to learn that saying nice things doesn't necessarily mean that what you're doing is nice. That's why the intent, that's why the thing. So here is, what's their actual intent? Point is if he does a yajna that is supposedly good for the whole world, how much piety does he get? So is it actually about the world, or is it about the piety he'll get? You understand? Like that. So that's the point. You know, the guy gives in charity, you know, big things for some foundation or stuff like that, And then you have the picture of him with one of those big monster 2-meter checks. So is it about giving the money, or is it about being recognized for being a religious and nice person? Right? You know, he can, you know, all his friends, they can sit around and, you know, about what they gave in charity for, right? Because otherwise, if they're all talking, yeah, you know, I gave to the Cancer Foundation and that and like that, and yes, you know, I'm, you know, those kids down, you know, they just had that big thing down in Haiti and all that, so I gave for that, and, you know, we even sent some of our people down there. So now what are you supposed to say? Yeah, yeah, no, I just kept all my money and just, you know, we just went on a, you know, around the world cruise with my family. We didn't give anything to anybody. And then they all go, oh, wow, okay, wow, okay, good, good, good on you. Right? No, you have to be able to say, yeah, see, like, what I did, you know. So it's a social status. I mean, it's a good thing, but it's more of a social status. You know what I'm saying? He's got hundreds of millions. How much does he give? There you go. The poor people, they're also giving in charity. But in proportion to what they have and what they're giving, actually, in proportion, poor guys are giving more. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're talking general here. You have guys that have huge money and they give tons. But we're just talking, it's a social thing. So much of the time we're using ideal words and they don't actually mean ideal. Like that. You know, governments pay big bucks to hire people to be able to, you know, how you say, I don't know what they call them now, they used to call them spin doctors. What do they call them now?
The Western equivalent is spreading democracy.
Spreading democracy. Or new world order. Can't get better than that, right? That sounds fabulous. You know, so that's the thing, is everybody's thinking that they'll arrange these things and do everything. You know, you go in and liberate the people there, right, from the previous regime, and then now they're under your control. And now, you know, there's names for everything. It sounds fabulous. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why you have to, that's the whole point, is we're trying to learn to discern between all the different things. What's the knowledge? What's the environment, knowledge, existence of things? What's the proper attitude? What are the proper ways of applying that? You know, who says what is proper action? And then there's result. And who says this action gives this result? Because otherwise people say, oh, we'll do this. And they'll, like, you know, 200 years ago, they decided that kids wouldn't learn English the way they've been learning for hundreds of years, because it's demeaning to the child's, you know, how you say, budding intelligence or something like that. And so then they made adjustments in the system. And for the last 200 years, learning to read English is the hardest language in the world to learn to read. When before it was like, we've used other systems, these old systems, and we've had kids reading in 3 weeks. Anything. Hand them a medical journal, they can read it. They don't know what it means, but they can read it. But by the modern system, by all these so-called intellectuals, it takes 2 years to learn to read. You understand? So it sounds great. They've got the amazing words about what they're doing and all these different things. But in reality, it just means, you know, how to make it hard for the kids to learn to read. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, in other words, you can say it in a fabulous way and everybody thinks it's great, but in reality, it doesn't work. So you have to be able to combine that. It means if it works and you present it so it sounds nice, that's good. But if it only sounds good and it doesn't work, what's the point? So for piety, maybe it does some work, but the whole point is piety is overrated because it's temporary. So Vedanta, then that gives what's eternal. So it's not that you don't do nice work and give in charity and do all these different things. The point is if you do it in connection with the Supreme, then you get an eternal benefit. But while if you do it without, then you get a temporary benefit. Right? So doing activities that are recommended for the satisfaction of the Supreme, that's proper. Because if you do recommended activities without the Supreme, or you're trying to worship the Supreme without recommended activities, or you're doing neither, unrecommended activities not for the Supreme, then these things don't work. Is that okay? Yes.
I just wanted to add that the man says, I'm doing a yajna because I want to make the whole world happy.
Right.
What if the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to make the whole world a little bit uncomfortable and not happy? Good luck on the yajna.
Because
it goes against the will of the Lord.
If
Krishna was saying, I want to do this yajna and make the whole world happy, then the whole world would be happy.
Yeah.
So it's saturated with false ego.
Yes.
That I'm going to make the whole world.
Yeah, there.
Good luck.
Yes, Suryatam Sarvabhuta. He's the friend of all living entities. Whereas Krishna's the friend. Does that make sense? Because the point is, if they're performing sinful activities, what's the reaction they're supposed to get? Right? Not a nice one. And what's the purpose of that? So that they wake up and ask, why am I suffering? Because the soul by nature wants to be happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then they'll be interested in transcendental. Does this make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thus, it is not unlike the statements enjoining action. Oh, no, we said that. The usefulness of statements is clearly stated in the text themselves. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma yo veda nihitam guhayam soshnute sarvan kaman. One who knows that Brahman residing within is eternal existence and eternal knowledge attains all desires. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1. One should not claim that by such explanations of results the Vedanta texts teach action. Since the topic of Vedanta is different, since it condemns seeking results of actions, karmakanda, and since by such claims one negates what is actually stated in the scripture and adds something that is not stated. Right? Because Shastra is not saying that you should perform the activity with a fruitive attitude. That's never recommended. Have we seen that? It's never recommended. It says that you do this action, you'll get this result. But the point is who's that result supposed to be for? Supreme Lord. So if you want to get a certain result for Krishna, this is the system. But it never mentions having a fruitive mentality or having an impersonal mentality. It never says that. So the only thing it's actually ever directly said is bhakti, that attitude. Right? Someone who's transcendental to the material world, but the point of that transcendence is to know the Supreme. So that's what he says. It's actually against Shastra, putting in this thing that, oh, we'll become happy by this, we'll do all these things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Nor can one make into something else the scripture dedicated to Brahman, who is source of all universes, who has an eternal spiritual body, and who is an ocean of auspicious qualities, who is the abode of Lakshmi, since the work cumulates in that object with authoritative proof. So everything goes back to the Supreme Lord, and he's saying then the authoritative proof is there. And as he goes through, he'll show that proof in the Vedanta Sutra. Right? Nor should one even claim that Jaimini maintained the path of karma alone, as quoted above, since he was also fixed in Brahman, giving up the literal meanings of some statements which do not teach action. In the sections dealing with karma, he merely established that section in terms of karma. Therefore, it is clear that the texts of Vedanta are concerned with Brahman alone and not karma. So he just takes them and tries to make it into that, though that's not the subject matter.
Huh?
Yes.
What was his inspiration in that? Why would he need that? I mean, he already have... he was interested in Brahman. He was. That's what it says with Jani. So why he needs to include karma in it?
Because No, because the point is if you understand Brahman, you understand the eternal nature of the soul. You understand the eternal laws of the universe. And so by following that, then you can get your material benefit. So his understanding of Brahman, which is there, because otherwise how can you be a karmi working in this life with austerity so that next life you can enjoy on the heavenly planets unless you know you're the soul? Mm-hmm. Right? And how can you be confident that I did this work, I will get that result? Because where do we see that person's gone to the heavenly planets? Where around us? So we have faith in the scriptures, and we have faith that because I did the work, Brahman's going to give me that result. So, in other words, they have faith in Brahman, but only for the purpose of karma. That's what he says here, that he merely established that section in terms of karma, right? Giving up the literal meanings of some statements which do not teach action, right? The literal meanings are about the existence of Brahman and that, and he simply just says, interprets them according to karma. So that's the hermeneutics, right? So, like for us, is that, like Krishna is saying, one who sees action and inaction and inaction and action. So for us, we see the ones where it's talking about action, but we see that action in connection to the Lord. So technically it's inaction. While when they're seeing the statements about inaction, they're interpreting that for the purpose of action.
Right? They actually recognize five different kinds of statements in the Shastra.
Okay.
Like mantra, induction, prohibition, but all the other ones are just supportive of the action.
Action, yes.
So it's meant to clarify Dharma.
Yeah. So yes.
We didn't hear.
He's saying that there's Jaimini accepts there's five different kinds of verses. Right, they give things action and all these different things. But all these different variety are only a support of action. Right, so that's why his point is they're useless without that. Therefore, he interprets them in connection with action. But what he's missing is that these ones that are talking just about the statements of things and the action. A point of inaction is that means you're giving up material action and taking up spiritual. So that's the point, is that he brings the higher ones down and brings the lower ones up to his position. Well, then the actual point of Vedanta is bring everything up to the transcendental position. So it's just a matter of where you center. So if you have a higher position and bring everything lower up to a higher position, that's definitely more glorious than taking something from a higher and bringing it down to a lower. Is that a sense? Yes. No, because why be nice to each other? What's the actual purpose of being nice? It's about thieves, honor amongst thieves. What's the purpose? It's just like this. If they're not nice to each other when they go out as a group and steal something, then after they have it, then they'll kill each other to, you know, one person wants all. But if there's an honor amongst the thieves, all five of them went out, they stole something, then they divide it up according to what was the previously agreed arrangement. So by doing, you know, by one person going out, they may not be able to get so much. But if they go out together as a group, they can get more. But then there has to be that honor that they'll share it. So it's just pranamoy.
If there's a guy who gives the money score,
But what's the purpose for? It's loyalty and all that, but for what purpose? Is it duties that you're supposed to be doing? Is it recommended activity? Right? That's the point of manomoy. I mean, of pranamoy. You're using the higher qualities of Dharma, but you're using them for sense gratification. You understand? Sense gratification is just sense gratification. Dharma is dharma. Now when you use dharma for sense gratification, that's called pranamoy. So you're taking the higher and going down. You understand? It's not going up.
Like
Right? Now, if you follow Dharma just for Dharma's sake and the piety, like the Jaiminis and all that, then you go to the heavenly planets, this and that, but you stay on that level. The Jnanis are using Dharma for a more elevated position of coming to the Brahman platform. But the devotees are using Dharma for the eternal, therefore Sad Dharma or Sanatana Dharma. Of course, but that's what we see, is she's doing her duty just because that's what you do. So she's a pious, chaste lady and all that. But we see is that she received the same instructions that Prahlad Maharaj did. Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he was interested in those, therefore he got the blessing to remember them. But for the wife, she was basically only interested in the material piety. You know, like that, that her son would be saved, she's waiting for her husband, you know, all nice things. But, so there's Dharma, but she was given transcendental knowledge. She forgot, Prahlad didn't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is we get enamored by that it's good, and so therefore it's there, because what are we used to? If things are good, that means we might also get. Right? If we say, you know, everybody, then we're one of everybody, so that means we can also get. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that there's some element of supremacy, and there is an aspect of behaving nicely with each other, or being fair. If you have those two points, then whatever you're dealing with, it will become popular. You know, you just have to establish what that is. Right? You know, so there's a supreme, and everybody's being good and being nice. I think 2 billion people are happy with that philosophy. You know, so then the whole point is that that's what they're attracted by. Because then if everybody's nice, people will deal nicely with me. But it's not that I'm dealing nice because I should, I'm dealing nice because then people will deal nice with me. Right? Do unto others like that. You know, because what's the point? You can say, oh, that's very lofty. Do unto others as you would have, you know, do unto yourself. But what's the whole point? Is so that they'll deal with me the way... Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Amanina Mana Dana. Right? So there, to respect others, anybody who's a little cultured can get into that. But how many can handle not being respected even though you deserve it? Right? So in the world culture, those who are in a respectable position, they'll deal very nice, speak nice, do all the etiquettes and all that, but you cannot deal with them not like that. Like that, they will not tolerate it. So, how developed is it? You know, it's better than just, you know, animal life, but it's sophisticated animals. You know, bees cooperate together, termites cooperate together, you know, and in their cooperation, they destroy everything around in a 3-kilometer radius, you know. You know, so it's like, but they cooperate. You know, they have their queen, they're loyal, like that. You know, they work hard, good work ethic, do their duties, right? You know, don't steal. Yes?
Loyalty among thieves means you just don't want to be off when you get out of jail.
Yeah, that's there. Or even when you're in jail.
Or even when you're in jail.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. So in other words, it's pranamoy. You're looking after yourself, but you're willing to cooperate with others to do it. That's what pranamoy is. See, it's taken as such a glorious thing altogether. And like, what was the one you just said about the new speak?
Oh, spreading democracy.
Spreading democracy. You know, just making it good. You know, everybody's happy, everything's good like that. But it's for sense gratification, not that you're spreading for higher understanding. Understand? So the good qualities are not bad, But the point is, the sensitive one's going to do so much work to cultivate those good qualities. Why not get an eternal benefit instead of just a temporary benefit? That's the point. So we're not saying that you have to change the system. We're saying you have to change the consciousness. Does that make sense? So you're being nice, but why are you being nice? Right? You can say, oh, it's for all the people, but it's actually ultimately for ourselves. You know? But when you're being nice because everybody is connected to the Supreme Lord, the Lord sitting in everyone's heart, therefore being nice has an eternal benefit. And you'll actually be able to be nicer to a wider variety of group. It's very rare you ever find anybody who they say be nice to everybody and they actually are nice to everybody. Generally, most people, when they say everybody, everybody means people from a particular mentality and background. And if you're outside of that, you're not an everybody, you're a nobody. Right? So they don't say you have to be nice to nobody. They say you have to be nice to everybody. Right? So it's very specific. You know what I'm saying? It's not actually very generic. Because now and again you meet those people, but they're so, everybody will say they're quite airy-fairy. Right? You know? No, it's like they don't have any in touch with reality in that. Last time I've seen one of them, it was a hippie girl, you know, that they're just totally, you know, also a couple of hippie boys. They're just not in touch with reality and all that, but they don't care. They have nothing, they give everything away, they're cool. But they can only do that within their own community. They go outside the community, like they, you know, head over to the, how you say, down south, and they may not be met with the same, you know, openness and everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
We spoke about the hermeneutics.
Yes.
Can we say that we also apply hermeneutics?
No, yes, hermeneutics is a method of interpretation. But whose are we using? When it comes to hermeneutics, whose do we use?
Vyasadeva?
Yes, Vyasadeva. And then how do we understand Vyasadeva?
According to our parampara.
Yes, according to our acharyas. Therefore, Prabhupada has as it is. Mm-hmm. So why would somebody write something else? As I'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. Or as makes me happy. Bhagavad Gita, as makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. People do stuff like that, but those, in other words, those who are interested in Braja Bhakti would never do that. Because the subtleties that are there in Braj, in the dealings and emotions, they won't tolerate people who are self-centered. So such individuals will never get to Vrindavan. They can't. Because as we were saying, is that the first thing is to catch the mood of the Braj bhaktis. Then you fit into where you fit within Braj. But if we don't catch the mood, the loyalty that's there and everything like that, so as soon as we try to adjust everything for our own liking, nobody will take you seriously. They're people. We have to remember. We're just taking it, oh no, there's just rules and regulations, and we just follow, we get our result. It has to come. Krishna and the Brajbasis are people. That's one of the first things that Yudhishthira Maharaj teaches is, no, it's results come by the grace of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is making that point. That you do your work according to your duty, but the result, you're dependent upon the Lord. But here, no, we're saying, no, if we do it like this, we'll get this result, rather than dependency on the Lord. So, who wants somebody who's not dependent on the Lord in Braj? You know? Nobody there wants. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that the mentality, if the mentality is not right, you don't get anywhere. So you have to be very, very careful. That's why Prabhupada says razor's edge. Right? The middle path is the middle path, but the middle path is as wide as a razor blade. And so that means you basically have an ocean out to the left and the right. You know, we're taking the middle path as big and accommodating and all that. It's the size of a razor. And if you understand it on the transcendental platform, it accommodates everybody. But if you try to accommodate everybody on the material platform, then you're off to the left or the right. You're not on the path. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Wide is the way of destruction, narrow is the way of the world.
Ah, yes, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, okay. Very good. Okay. Bhagavat verses, Bhagavatam verses. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16:44. Okay. We offer our obeisances again and again unto you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have maintained yourself in those, manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures, encouraging sense gratification as well as those encouraging renunciation of the material world. So it's about the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives the authority and all that. It's not coming from that. We don't make the authority. That's like these other schools. They believe in the Supreme, but still they make their own interpretation. Okay? So we're good on this. So this is Shastra Yonitvat, right? So that means evidence comes from Shastra. It has to be based on Shastra. But basing it on Shastra, it still has to be in line with discussion about the Supreme, Tato Brahma Jigyasa, right? It's not that it can't, it's not the Tato Dharma Jigyasa here, right? Does that make sense? So Adhikarana 4, reconciliation of text. Samvayadhikaranam. Summary, the absolute truth is the only subject of Shastra, right? So, because Jaimini is saying that the Shastra is talking about karma. So now the Adhikarana says that no, the Supreme, the absolute truth, is the only subject of Shastra. There isn't anything else. So Shastra is describing the Supreme from different angles. The Lord is unlimited, so there's unlimited angles. So all that unlimited knowledge is put together in 14 books, right? So 14 categories of knowledge, right? Raghunath Das, you know, down in the sun. So. And, oh, yes. Okay. Okay, sutra reference 114. Verse reference from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11, 11:18, and 19. Summary of Adhikarana 4. Vishaya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in all Vedic scriptures. Shamshaya, is this statement true or false? Purvapaksha, Lord Vishnu is far from the only topic described in the Vedas, for the Vedas mainly describe various fruit of karmakanda sacrifices. Right? So that'll be the doubt. No, but there's all this Ayurveda, and there's this, and there's the karmakanda, and you know, all the different histories of so many people. Where is Vishnu mentioned in all these? Right? But the point is, Vedanta is saying, no, it's all about Krishna. It's all about his energies and how they work and all that. So the point is if you understand the rule of it, then who's given that rule? Right? Krishna says he is, you know, the science. Right? He's the process. He's the people involved. He's the results you can get from it. So we know Ayurveda, so then we know the science. So you can say, oh, no, it's not about the Supreme, but why does it work? Who made it the way it is? Right? Who makes it that you have this disease and you take this medicine and it works? Right? So and then what's health for? What's the purpose of health? Right? So the purpose of health is to engage as a human being in pursuit of the Supreme. So that means then Ayurveda is about the Supreme. Only when we say health is for sense gratification, then we can say it's not about the Supreme. So is it? Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva replies to the objections in the sutra Tattu Samanvayat. But Lord Vishnu is the sole topic of discussion in the Vedas is confirmed by all scriptures. Right? So that's the point we're going to get into, is that this is that. So the doubt comes up. So he says, no, Lord Vishnu is the only topic. Because right? This is the opening. You know, this is the sangati between the last. Okay, we have the shastra. Right? Shastra yonitvat. So everything's from the shastra. So, but what is that everything? So it's about the Lord. So someone may say, no, but there's so many other subject matters. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Vishaya. In order to strengthen the previous statements, it is now said that Brahman, or the Lord, is to be known by all the Vedas. Gopal Tapani 2.21 says, Yo sau sarver veda giyate. He is praised in all the Vedas. Sarve veda yat padam amananti. All the Vedas honor the Lord's feet. Katha Upanishad 1.2.15. So it's saying that it's all about Him. You just have to be able to see it, because there is nothing other than the Lord. That's the point. When you come to the transcendental position, then you see how the Lord is in everything, how He's there in everything. Right? You don't see something else. Right? Just like the sense enjoyer, he sees sense enjoyment everywhere. Mm-hmm. But for the devotee, he sees Krishna and service to Krishna everywhere. So that's what the actual purpose is. Right? So that makes sense. So it's interesting how in four sutras they brought us up to this point. You know, that's very efficient.
And the Janmad Yasilita in the second sutra, everything's emanating from the Lord, so
yes.
It's naturally connected to Him.
Yes, yes. So if all there is Brahman, right, and everything's emanating from the Lord, so it means it's also Brahman. Shastra's defining this, so it must also be discussing Brahman. Right? And then the whole point is that therefore the context of everything, whether it's knowledge, action, results, is about Brahman. It's about the Supreme. Yeah. So this is logic. This is Nyaya Prashtan. It's very logical. Right? So on the intellectual platform, it's very clean. Right? There's nothing to get distracted by. So if you're getting distracted, it's because of one's material attachments, the mind. Okay. Yes.
I just would like to ask that if anybody is asking a question, if they can speak a little louder so I can hear the question.
Yes, why not? Yes.
So we can say that the division between paravidya and aparavidya depends on the consciousness?
Means paravidya means it's directly talking about the Supreme. And aparavidya means it's indirectly talking about the Supreme. Because you're talking about the Supreme through the medium of His creation, through His energies. Right? So the para means you're talking about the Lord through His internal potency. But the apara then talks about the mechanics of His potency. Right? Whether it's spiritual or material. Mechanics are the same. Right? It's not that here we have a fire, then on the fire we put a pot, and then in the pot we put things, and then you have a spoon in your hand to push it around. And Mother Jashoda doesn't do like that, because it's a spiritual world, right? So it's all different, right? You know, the fire's on the ceiling, and then you put the pot up there, and then you throw stuff up, and they magically stick, and you don't even have to stir it. And the amazing thing, it won't fall on your head. You understand? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, though. The mechanics are the same. There's only one set of mechanics. It's just whether it's superior mechanics or inferior mechanics. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes the food does jump out of the pot.
That's another thing. But the point is it's still following a law.
Yeah.
Right? You put cans of condensed milk into the boiling water and the water runs out, then things do jump out of the pot, but it's still following the laws. Like that. You know, just in the spiritual world, they won't let the water run out. You know, well, here, we might.
What? Technical, samshaya would be the doubt, and purvapaksha would be somebody else's refuting that doubt?
No, the purvapaksha would be their evidence.
Explanation
on the doubt.
Right.
On the doubt.
Yeah, it means, in other words, we have a vishaya, right? It means we have our statement, and then we have our reason, mm-hmm. and then we give our examples, mm-hmm. right? So at purvapaksha, you're simply all of that together. we're not distinguishing between their reasons, their examples, and all that. Because we've already pointed out that a statement must have a thesis, must have reasons, and then you give your examples. Mm-hmm. Right? So then we make our statement, we give our reason, then that brings up their doubt. Mm-hmm. So they give their reason, and then they have their purvapaksha. Right? Which includes their reasons and all that. We don't have to separately mention that. So in other words, they're applying the five syllogisms, and we're applying it. But we don't have to break down all theirs, other than knowing that this is their doubt, and this is their you know, expression of that doubt. You know, it's just like you have so many things to say, right? And then they have this, they have that, they have all these different things, and you break it down, and people should recognize that. But someone else has another opinion. But that goes into the category of whatever, you know, so you don't have to break it down. Right? No? Yeah? Does that make sense? Okay. No?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Very logical explanation.
Very logical explanation, yeah. Very exact. It's like, you know, what do we care to break it down? Right? The point is we deal with what they say, but we don't need to look at the science that they're presenting it. We simply, you know, if it's not presented scientifically, that's another thing. But that will be, well, we'll use to bring it all together. Okay. So Shamshaya, the doubt is this. Is it correct to say that Vishnu is to be known by the Vedas or not? Purvapaksha. It seems that he is not to be known, since it is generally seen that karma is prescribed. It is observed that the Vedas proclaim that karma with their angas, such as Karidi sacrifice for rain, the Putra Kameshti sacrifice for obtaining sons, or Jyotishtama sacrifice for going to Swarga, are prescribed. By such statements, the topic of karma seemed to be the prominent subject. Therefore, it is not possible to conclude that Vishnu is the conclusion. Right? Because they're simply looking at the volume of material. They're not looking at, you know, it's just like this. Okay, let us say someone has a baby, right? And they're going to go out traveling for, you know, a short time. Okay? By volume, which is more? The baby or the bags that carry all the stuff for the baby?
Bags.
Yeah. So does that mean it's about the bags? The topic matter is diapers. Right? Not the baby. How can you say? Because the volume is diapers. Why do you say it's the baby? So that's their argument. Simply because there's volume? Because they're interested in work and results. So for them, better work, better results. So volume's very important. So so for them, quality is only for the purpose of volume. Right? So it's not that it's for the purpose of understanding the higher truth. Does that make sense? So, Sutra 114. Tattu samanvayat. But Vishnu is the conclusion because of the agreement of other scriptures as well. The word tu, but, is used to refute the objection about karma. It has been said that Vishnu is to be known by all the Vedas. Why? Because of correlation, logical connection, samvayata, bringing about a conclusion. Samanvaya means to consider the meaning very carefully. Footnote 27. Samanvayat in this sutra means because the scriptures themselves bring us to this conclusion. The word anvaya means understanding the actual meaning, and the word samanvaya means perfect understanding after careful deliberation. So it can't be just you heard it and that's it. It has to be, there has to be deliberation. Right? So then you can see from all the different scriptures that they all support that it's about the Supreme. Because there'll be so many verses in volume, and then there'll be one that concludes. Just like if you remember when we were studying Manu, there's the whole section that's actually talking about vegetarian. Right? But it's pointing out that is why is there? Because we're talking about Shastra, right? So if Shastra says killing the animal in sacrifice according to the rules is not sin, it has to mean that, right? It's not that, oh, that's sinful, but then being vegetarian is not. No, following the Shastra is pious. Not following the Shastra is sinful. So it gives a whole thing to establish that. Then it points out that, yes, you perform an ashram, 100 ashramedha yajnas in your 100-year lifetime, and you are a vegetarian for 100 years, you get the same benefit. Right? So now, there were 30 verses there. And it ends with mamsa, right? Meat is called mamsa, right? So mam saha. Mam, I kill you, saha, you kill me. That's the meaning of the word. Right? Means whoever you're eating, they get the chance to kill you in the next life. That's what it means. You know? It's kind of like a pact with the devil, right? You know, you get to enjoy now and then he gets your soul, right? You know, so that kind of thing. You know, it's never looked on very highly. You know, people might be inclined. Then, I think it's whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, right? Isn't that the, yeah, so that's the whole point is that it's there, but there's 30 verses explaining that. But what's the whole point of the whole thing? No, to not kill animals. But that's one verse. And there's 29 of the other. So we'll think by volume it means that. Or in Mahabharata, there's 100,000 verses. 25,000 are about the Pandavas and Krishna. 75 are in support of that. So we'll take it that, no, see, Mahabharata's not about the Pandavas and Krishna. It's not about devotional service. Understand? So that's why Bhagavatam's written, so it's obvious, because everything's directly about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then people will get it through their heads. Oh, okay. Is that what he says? Because otherwise, by volume, we'll always take volume as more important. Prabhupada says this, but you know, in the world, so many people, millions of people don't do that. So isn't that more important than Prabhupada? You know, one Prabhupada, millions of people, one Prabhupada, millions of people. Hey, you know, where's the thing here? No, but one Prabhupada is worth, you know, all the living entities of the universe. You know, if you put them on a scale, you could take all the universes, put them on one side, unlimited, and one Prabhupada on the other, and they still won't balance. Right? So that's the whole point. It's Brahman and millions of fools. It doesn't make it right. Millions of fools say this is correct. Oh, you can enjoy and be happy in the material world. Does that make it real? No, this 5-year-old kid, Prahlad Maharaj, then he's right and these millions of people are fools. Right? So it's because it's about the absolute truth. So it's not just sentiment. It'll be saying, oh, but that's just sentiment. No, the other one's sentiment. That you're worried about the millions of people. It's foolish. That's sentiment. Why would you do? Because it was the mind. Why are we choosing Prahlad? Because of the intelligence. So why are we the sentimentalists? You understand? That's the mode of ignorance. Make that which is intellectual look sentimental, and that which is sentimental look intellectual. Right? And as we discussed before, because you use nice words, it looks fabulous. Like that.
We see that in the original Veda, the four Veda, the Samhita, and yes. Many means to glorify Varuna and Indra, but only very few verses to glorify Vishnu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vishnu is himself doing what he does, right?
Yeah.
So the universe is expanded by who? Indra and Varuna? Vishnu. Okay. So that means. And the soul who's Indra, Varuna, they're doing the work. It's their own potency by which they rule the universe or control all the air in the universe.
Yeah.
Where does the potency come from? Right. So then how is it that verses about Indra and Vayu are not about Vishnu? That's like saying I'm talking about, let's say, in the government, some secretary who sits in a little office on the side and does some paperwork, and talking about him, I'm not talking about the government. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But why the hymns always, I mean, write in a very hidden way that like from that verse?
It's just like this. It's been said a million times about Krishna, and everything's about Krishna. So, according to that same logic, why are you still doubting it? Why are you still trying to find reasons how it's not about Vishnu? What's the purpose?
I mean, just the way how they present. I mean,
the whole point is, but why are you looking for it? You understand? So, the point is, the Vedas are written in that way so that whatever you want, you can get. Because Krishna being everything, that means then all goals are there, and therefore all desires can be accommodated. And so the Vedas written so you can get all those if you want. You know, does that make sense? It's just like, let's say, the kid wants to, you know, can I go out and play and this and that, you know, and do my homework later and so many things like that, or, you know, why do I have to clean my room now? And then the mother says, you know what you're supposed to do. You know? And so then, how do you interpret that? It's meant that you know that this is the schedule, this is how you're supposed to do things, but you know what you're supposed to do, and it says, yeah, not right now, I feel like playing. So that's what I should do. So that's one interpretation. So the wording is such is that you want to have an understanding other than Vedanta, you can get it. Therefore, six schools. Because why do people come to the material world? To become pure devotees?
No.
But does that mean that pure devotion is not the standard? In the spiritual world, the minimum is pure devotion. And then up to pure unalloyed devotion. But pure is the minimum. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, the scriptures aren't talking about anything else than pure devotion, but because people have come here not for pure devotion, then therefore they can interpret it in these ways. But at least if they follow Shastra, it's pious and it's better than not following Shastra. You understand? So there, those people who are attached to sense gratification, and that then they have opportunities how they can get that and follow Shastra. But actually it's meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord. Right? You follow the science of cooking, you will get a proper preparation. You don't follow, you'll never get. Right? But now, if I follow, then if I come in contact with Krishna consciousness, now I just cook it for Krishna. But if I'm not following and I'm getting terrible things to eat, how do I offer that to Krishna? Right? Plus, if it says, do this, and I get sense gratification from it, I'll have faith in the scriptures. And now when the faith scriptures say, surrender the Supreme, I might take that also. So in other words, you're trying to start them on a positive path. But in reality, people here don't want that. Otherwise, why is it stuff that's so straightforward that everywhere we turn in the scriptures, it's always saying the same thing, and we're still having doubts? You know what I'm saying? That's because of just the habit of I'm the controller and enjoyer. So we're trying to find, okay, here's a fault. Maybe I still am the controller. Maybe I still am the enjoyer. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, it's just a matter of it's from all different angles until one point we just surrender. That's why it appears that it's so many different topics, but it's only one topic, how to surrender to the Lord. Because it says, sarva dharman parityaja. So, like we said, Ayurveda is a dharma, how it works. It has a nature. So that should be used in Krishna's service. You know? the rituals, they have a nature, use it in Krishna's service. Okay?
Like worship of Varuna, the combination, we have engaged it to serve Krishna.
Yes, but the whole point is, who is Varuna?
Varuna is the demigod of water.
Okay, and that is an office, or that's a living entity, that they come with fully endowed power and prowess and everything? Living entity, but Varuna's power comes from himself? That 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, is controlling all the air in the universe? Or it's an office. Right? Right? We'll take another country as an example. You have the head of state, right? And they're just a guy. You know, okay. Excuse me. They are just a person. Okay? Then at one point, they become elected to the post. Then, now they have a sovereignty over the whole country. Then when their time period of office is over, they're just another person in the country. So that power to run the country came from the jiva or came from the government? So therefore, Varuna's power comes from himself or from the universal government. Okay, who controls the universal government? Yeah, it wasn't as Vishnu. You know, what is that? How do you say it? Sharpay or? Yeah, my Sharpay dog actually used the spring. You know, does that make sense? So it's just talking about the governance of how everything works. It's only talking because Krishna is unlimited, so it's talking about him there. It's being carried out by, but what Vayu can do is there. So when he follows just the things, everything goes nicely. When he kind of gets his own ideal, that's when problems start. Indra just does his job, everything goes nice. He does something stupid, that's when things fall apart. Right? In other words, Indra's controlling the universe, that's Krishna's power. Right? Indra's being stupid, that's Maya, that's the living entity making bad choices. But because it's on that universal level, then the Lord will come and reciprocate with that, and it'll be all kinds of far out things. Is that okay? Yes.
I understand this objection. My question is there any desire or any is there a desire somewhere in the Vedas or by the people who compiled the Vedas to keep it hidden? In other words, you know, like, we should never speak the name of God. Nobody should know the name of God. Only, you know, like this mentality. So,
but that's out of respect. If you put G-D, that's out of respect. It's not that he doesn't have, it's just too great. And we're worms in stool, it's not our business to say. It's so great and glorious. The point is that it's all there, it's just, it's only revealed by the Lord. That's the whole point, is that you can see what it's talking about if the Lord reveals, and if the Lord doesn't reveal, you can't see it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that it's a problem. Just like, let's say, people write poetry. Are they hiding things? No, they're expressing fully their feelings, but because of the medium, we may come up with all kinds of different meanings to it. But actually, the person who wrote it, it's very open. So the Vedas are very direct in all that, but the point is because of the style of writing, the Vedic, because the Vedic verses are written where the vocabulary means to use obscure meanings, because it's an intellectual thing. So if I use just common words, intellectuals aren't happy. I use some fancy words, like I remember once too with what was his name, Rabindra Sarup, right? You know, because he's a well-read person. So one day I had come across in an old Oxford dictionary, you know, it was really old, the word gruntled, right? Because we only think disgruntled. Have you ever heard anyone use the term gruntled? No, because it's gone out of fashion. But before it was a you do something and if you want to know if they're satisfied, are you gruntled? And so after the prashad service and all that, at the end, I ask him if he was gruntled. He was so happy. You know, because here's, wow, a really unique, you have to think about it. Wow, yes, this gruntled, so gruntled, yeah, it's like he was happy. So that's the language that the Vedas are written in. It's meant for that kind of intellectual satisfaction. Like that.
Okay. So there's no desire to keep it here.
No. It's just the point is that we have to have the desire to know. Therefore, atato brahma jignasa. Okay. Okay. So we'll break for a few minutes. Okay. So. Oh, no, this is the end of this class, right? Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.